Welcome, Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, August 1st, 2009. Last night, we had a great show with Steve. Talked about the mandatory fake flu shots that are going to be required with FEMA being backed up by the military if you refuse. How about that, though? It was called vaccination of bioweapons 3 by gunpoint. I'm sure we live in a free country. Used to. Anyway, let's finish up this little tiny bit from last week and then go into a couple old shows. And here we go.
TV undermix into my mixes on my album.
Last week.
Capture energy.
The week before.
Like a vinyl undermix that you never hear from that energy field. It's one of my recording secrets. Never told you about before. Pretty interesting, all right? This is the spectrum gases. This is a device that does instantaneous healing. It's called the X1 Healing System. This is a model of it. It generates a scalar wave. Basically, what you do with this is you put a person in front of it, they eyeball it, it generates a central red, generates a central green, generates a central violet. Their hand is in a box with a Corellian camera on it and a full spectrum color camera recording it, and I have mapped the entire hydrogen atom, which maps the entire person's body DNA in less than 1 second. It's a Pleiadian device, which we are not allowed to build at this time. Again, we built one part of one prototype. Then the person, once they recorded, we recorded every aberration in their body that's wrong with them. They go into an Epsom salt bath. This device comes over here and generates proper radiation. It's like a million times more powerful than the receptor, and it causes their body to heal itself within 1 second. Okay? You might have seen it on the day the Earth stood still. It completely can map all the genetics of a human body in less than 1 second. And someday I'll explain how that works. I do know how it works. This is a time machine, a model that I built. This is a real one that I built here in Laguna. It was about 30 feet tall in the backyard, where the backyard is now. It warped all the trees. There's still Roy saw one. We had to cut it down, made trees grow in spirals. It warped the whole neighborhood. Eventually, it warped the whole town. They still talk about it here in this town. This is a model of one of the ships that I was starting to build, and the officer promptly stopped me. This is a model of a beam ship engine. This is the area, the X1 healing machine. Because it can map DNA, obviously it can map anything, can't it? It can map DNA in 1 second. How long would it take to map the universe? 2 seconds? So what happens is the X1 is the device that from the Pleiadian side of view, where I want to go. I want to go in the Earth, I want to go to the Pleiades. I would have a picture of the Pleiades. I would stick it in the X1. The X1 would fire the DNA structure of the Pleiadian galaxy. It would project it out into this big tube. It would be projected outside the ship, and it would be there. So the X1 healing machine is the integral part of the Pleiadian propulsion system. That's why I'm not building anymore. It's not allowed on this planet at this time. There's the model of Semyasi controlling. The control of these spaceships is done by a signature. The signature is at the base of her feet, top of her head, and the palm of her hand. If these three things work, ignition start. If these don't correlate, some U.S. idiot is in there in one of these ships, it won't. Not only will it not work, it will blow up certain parts of the ship. This is the detail of the model that I built.
Why won't they let you build that now?
Forbidden. They don't even want me to talk about it. They don't even think about it. It's not for this world. It's too destructive. You're from the wrong end. After the year 2000, maybe they'll let us build one. When you light one of these babies up, like we did this model, which had working optics, you get the same compression lines that you'll see in the scalar lines. Because this is the optics. This is called spider optics. When this thing is lit off, it fires the picture. The picture is carried through the spider optics and it shoots out the center of the ship. You can see that demonstrated in that Billy Meyer tape. Except the one that's there, this bottom projector is up here on the top. So on the top, it goes like this, and it projects a double beam off the top, where this design here projects one off the top and the bottom. This is an earlier design that they had. It has radiation leakage. But it's still funny, good enough for me. I wouldn't mind it. This is a ship that was photographed the White Sands a number of years ago. And this next photograph is still in here. This is Craters on the Moon. And this is a stuck slide projector. Does this. Okay, now go to the next one. We've got one more slide to go here. This is the next version of my time machine that, according to Semyonovsky, if you look at the previous one, this is the maiden flight. And this flight will take place sometime in the future, because the next one that I will build will fly. The other one up on the hill, wouldn't it? It was bolted to the ground. This one, it will fly. And this was photographed in 1943 by Dan Fry, the year I flew it into my own birth year. So this has not occurred yet, but it's already been photographed in time. Okay, that's my ship. Okay, I built that. It hasn't flown yet, but it will fly, and the photograph will be taken. And there was a photograph in this lifetime. That's one ship that I will build. If you look at the time machine, it was built. It looks very similar to that. It just didn't have the outer casing on it that's necessary for flight. I have all the designs and all the drawings. Now you can ask questions about the time machine. You see, it's deep. And this, once again, ties right into the Philadelphia experiment, doesn't it? You know, I worked on it at the University of Michigan in 1959, 1958, I worked on this technology.
How do you keep the material out of a mountain or somebody else's?
Good question. That's why it has flight characteristics. It has to make the time jump. It has to come off the ground. That's exactly what has to happen. And the one that we build up there was only allowed to go ahead in the future 1 millisecond. That's all we were allowed with it. In 1 millisecond, it warped the neighborhood and the entire town. I had to hire a lawyer, and I had to go through the...
Well, that's that part of it. That was the end of that two-weekend thing that we were doing there, seminar. So now what we will do is what? We will... go ahead and put on an old show that Dr. Red Bell's Health Science and Energy Show, which is always fun. And we'll have that coming right up here.
Let's make it morning. A couple of minutes after the hour of 11
o'clock. Just the way it goes.
It is time once again for Dr. Fred Bell's Health
Science and Energy Show.
Live from Laguna Beach, California. Here is Dr. Fred Bell. Good morning, Dr. Bell.
Good morning, Jim. How was your weekend?
My weekend was fine. I was down in San Diego. Got to do a little traveling, a little sightseeing. How about yourself?
Oh, it was really great. I got worked on a model car this weekend and cleaned up the house.
Well, you got a big house.
I know. It gets pretty messy around here. You know, just dusting in here is just a nightmare. I have a girl come in, but down here in Laguna, the air is so dirty, you know. And probably, I tell you, the people up in L.A. that don't have the ocean breeze, you know. So I've been running my ionizers enough lately in the house, so the dust has been building up. I got to start practicing when I preach more. Those ionizers, I run those ionizers down in the garage. You know, we do our burn-in. We have a burn-in system over at the plant, and I'll bring like 6 or 8 of them home and stack them up down there in the garage and run them for a week. Then I have to take them apart and clean them again because people think I'm sending them a used machine. The dust builds up so quick in them, you know.
Oh, my.
But the garage is probably the cleanest area in the whole house because of the fact the ionizers run down there pretty continually.
Now, listen, tomorrow on the Elizabeth Show, I've got a very special guest that I want you to listen to.
Well, who's that?
His name is Frederick, and Frederick claims to be a walk-in from Arcturus.
Oh, that'll be a good conversation.
So I want you to listen.
No, I will. You know, it's for people that make those claims, though, you know, it's kind of rough on them because I remember when Lama Rinpoche did his thing, you know, and it took people and society and civilization a long, long, long time to even understand what happens when the Dalai Lama sort of misses his mark on it. On a rebirth cycle, you know.
Well, Frederick is very heavily into Hindu philosophy. He is probably one of the most magnetic people you will ever meet or hear, so I don't want you to miss this show.
That'll be on tomorrow at 9, right?
Tomorrow at 9:05 after Network News.
Oh, great, yeah. That sounds like fun. So anyway, last Friday we left off talking about the system. We got into my systems again. And, of course, since I've seen you, several people have come by and purchased receptors. You know, a lot of people come by on Saturdays when I'm here. And we've been muscle testing a lot of people like we did you. And we've been having a lot of fun with those. If you remember correctly, remember our last conversation we were having?
Friday.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Have you been wearing your receptor there, Jim?
I've got my receptor on, but I had a long weekend.
Well, you did. Now, what we were talking about is we were talking about remember last week we did the meditation.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, we did that, and then we had gotten into the actual part of the yoga technique called Siddhi, and we discussed that in the TM movement, for example. Siddhi is one of the things that was practiced and demonstrated where people actually, float.
Oh, we were talking about levitation.
Yeah, levitation. And then what we were discussing was the fact that levitation was not the ultimate experience or goal of that form of meditation. It was just a side effect that had shown you that you had just reached a certain level. And that when you reach that level, what happens is you're suddenly, the horizon opens again and you see beyond. It's amazing how life is like a tunnel when you start to partake of it a little bit, you know. And then we got into the system that the TM people have been using for, for demonstrations and for practice, to demonstrate these kinds of things. And then I started to get a little bit into the systems which work in conjunction with the receptor. The receptor is tied into some other equipment that can be networked. And I've been having a lot of fun studying networking, reading my Atlantis book, The Eighth Continent, by Charles Berlitz.
Yes.
And there's a lot of networking, for example, that is being discovered down in the Bimini Islands, off the coast of Cuba. It's amazing how many scientific, like I was just reading this morning about this submarine that had run into one of the pyramids down there. And what happens is even though the ocean may be 1,000 feet deep in those areas, which isn't considerably deep considering the depth of the ocean, but it's deep enough to cover things up, and some of these pyramids are like 600 feet tall, 700 feet tall, and at certain times they're only 40 or 50 feet below the surface, but due to the fact of the storms and that, these storms cover up the pyramids from time to time, so occasionally they're seen from the air and photographed. Sometimes a diver will come in at the right period of time and have an experience, find an artifact in them, like Ray Brown finding that crystal, and then somebody else goes in to do some research on it, and there's no trace of it even being there. Yet some of the people that did the research on it as of recently have high degrees of credibility at this point in time. It's getting to be scientifically accepted.
Now, I understand that Charles Berlitz actually has a tour that he takes out in his submarine to see one of the pyramids that apparently is in the Bahamas.
I'm sure he does. I can say I haven't got him on the show yet, but at some point in time I'm definitely going to have him on the show. I think he'd be fascinating, but I think if we discuss, before I start bringing other authors on, I think it's really important that we get familiar with what they're writing, what they're saying, what their beliefs are, so that when the callers come in, they'll be what I call well-armed for questioning. And I highly recommend everybody go out that listens to me and get the Atlantis book. It's at all the B. Dalton bookstores. It's only $16.95. It's the best investment. This is more fun than watching television, I'll tell you. But anyhow, these networks are there. The networks are there, like the Stonehenge in England, for example. And all these different pyramid networks, that group of pyramids that was found down in Brazil recently is in the book. And all these were networks. And people wonder, what does a network do? Well, what a network does is when a level of consciousness reaches a certain level, it helps to feed in information into human psychic systems, into the human human aura into the human body, into the physical part of the body. It helps feed all of these circuits. And these networks, because they are not only networked on the Earth, but they are tied into networks, like there are some structures that I've got photographs on the moon of that are quite different than anything that should be on the moon. There are a group of pyramids on Mars that we've got photographs of, which we showed at the last seminar that we did.
Will you be showing those at the upcoming seminar?
Yes, I plan to bring those again. I'll have those. I've got to get some new slides because I want to start showing some of these new pyramids that are appearing now and some of these new pictures, but I've got to get hold of some friends. Probably next summer I'll take a trip down into the Bahamas and do some photography myself of some of these structures that I know approximately where they are. And then next year we'll have some really wild seminars. But this year it's important just to show what's already been photographed by other explorers. And then we talked about the networking between the, like the other day we were talking about the Dogons who live in Africa, who have legends that tie in with the star system, the Sirius. We've talked about the American Indians, the Hopis, all the different tribes in America, how they have the flame ceremonies. There are 52-year flame ceremonies that tie in with the Pleiades. So we have, in the course of the last 4 or 5 weeks on this program, did a pretty good, all-encompassing, worldwide study of networking. I mean, you know, that's pretty much, and not only have we studied it worldwide, we studied it going back, you know, a few thousand years, in some cases a few hundred thousand years, and now we're showing, and now we're able to, with this background information, as these new scientific, you know, discoveries come to light, we're able to really begin to get a full picture. You know, what I'm trying to do is establish an entire picture rather than just little bits of remote pieces of information that come in, you know, on the news service here and there. If somebody says something, it's not accurate enough, it's not historic enough, and it's not scientific enough. So I'm trying to show people where to go for more information, what the information is about. And in the process of doing that, exposing the what I would call the newest network, or the networks that will set precedent probably in the 21st century, starting, they're already here, the systems that we're developing are here. Like when people come down to get a receptor, for example, they look around in the workroom down there and they see these huge giant pyramid structures full of crystals hanging from the ceilings, and they begin to ask questions about those, and some of them immediately feel the energies from them. And these are all part of the networks, and they're all tied into the networking that's already there, but this is our new technological expression of that sort of thing. And then, you know, so continuing on with why we need this sort of thing, we got to look at the two sides of the story. Now, I have another book here called The Biological Effects of Electric and Magnetic Fields of Extremely Low Frequency. And I'll repeat that once again. It's Biological Effects of Electric and Magnetic Fields of Extremely Low Frequency. And it was written by Shepard and Eisenbud. It's a hard book to get hold of. It's published on the New York University Press. These two gentlemen that wrote it should also be brought into this program at some point in time.
What's the publication date on that?
1977. And it's the Institute of Environmental Medicine, the New York University Medical Center. I want to point out that even though I'm an up-and-coming author myself, when I start quoting and bringing guests on this program along this vein, which I'm getting ready to do as the next phase of the Dr. Bell Health, Energy, and Science show, I want people to know that these are people that are totally accepted. Some of them have won Nobel Prizes, or they've reached high honors. They're graduates of medical schools all over the world. They're highly credible people, yet they're just as crazy as I am in their own way. You've got to be crazy to come on the show. But the thing is, if you're dealing with it...
Esoteric. The word's esoteric.
Esoteric, right. And, but if you're dealing with it and you realize that this is happening and it's okay, then you can really convey the knowledge, because too many people are turning to drugs, too many people are turning to alcohol, too many people are turning to violence as an escape for an internal process that has to happen, and they're fighting it. And the process is a good process. It's a process of alignment of the endocrine system and the human psych systems to accept the consciousness of the stars, to accept the fact that we are not alone. You know, to accept the fact that we are going to be superhuman in the next few generations, to accept the fact that our children already are. All we have to do is allow them to express it. So what we're really fighting for now is acceptance of something that is, something that we want, and something that we've always wanted. It's been man's dream to go to the stars, to be with people, not to be sick any longer. All of these kinds of things, and it's our divine right to be this way, to behave like gods and goddesses rather than subhuman animals. So anyway, in the book, Biological Effects of Electric and Magnetic Fields of Extremely Low Frequency, it tells you basically why you need to get into receptor technology, to get into the technology of the systems that we build, because it talks about what happens when, for example, you're living by a power pole. It talks about the human aura in the book. It shows in the book the way that the body conducts electricity when exposed to, let's say, a big high-tension power line. You know, people that have these high-tension power lines running by their home. The first thing it does, for example, is it raises a triglyceride level and make a person more prone for cholesterol deposits. And then medical science turns around and says, well, we don't understand the cholesterol, you know, blah, blah, blah. We don't understand that atherosclerosis and arteriosclerosis are the fastest number one killers in America. Well, of course they don't understand, because they don't really want to understand, because it gets in the way of an establishment that's been established between the medical profession and the pharmacist. You know, one person diagnoses an illness and the other one prescribes a drug to cover it up, you know. And that isn't the solution to the problem. What has to happen is we have to balance our bodies out. We have to understand why we're balancing our bodies out. We have to understand what's going to happen after we balance our bodies out. So these are the kinds of things that we're really getting into. Now, getting back into the system that we were talking about on Friday, we have a device that we call a System 3. And that's, remember when you came over to the house, you saw that big tall structure sitting off the floor?
The array of pyramids.
Yeah, the array of pyramids. Now, if you do muscle testing on somebody with a pyramid, okay, or use that squeeze device that you've been using, and a lot of our listeners, by the way, Jim, have had the experience of the squeeze device, and some of them have come over and brought their friends, and they've had the experience. Their friends not even hearing the show, but once they squeeze the machine and wire receptors, I think we've got a growing audience of listeners that have had an experience with the New Age science.
Yes.
So what happens is when you take a pyramid and you put it on a person's head, you know, a gold pyramid, not an aluminum or plastic pyramid, they're toxic, but a non-toxic pyramid, and give them the squeeze test or the muscle test, the average person is going to be about 20 to 25% stronger and probably have an endurance of at least 50% greater. In other words, they can hold their arm out under pressure 50% longer with a load on it than they normally could without a pyramid. I've had little old women. I've done chin-ups on little old ladies standing in the audience at a few of my larger seminars where the audience was kind of channeling energy in them too. You know, you could really get high and really powerful if you you get the whole audience working together, because everybody's aura field, you know, works with everybody else's, which causes these mass hormone changes and things, you know. So,
Dr. Bell, I'd like to pause right now and let everyone know that they are listening to the Dr. Fred Bell Health, Science, and Energy Show. And this is a call-in talk show. You'll take calls this morning, won't you?
Sure. Where's the open day?
Open day. So 772-5718 is one of our numbers, 772-5718 or 316-KFOX. As a matter of fact, we've got Craig right now on the line. Let's go to Craig. On line four, we have got Craig, I believe. Craig, good morning.
Fred, how are you doing?
Fred, how are you?
You know, I got to tell you, you're just the greatest, and probably one of the reasons why I don't call. I wait for Debbie's show, but I always listen to yours. You're so fascinating that I almost hate to interrupt your trend of thinking, but then your trend of thinking is so vast that it doesn't make any difference if I interrupt it or not.
Now, that's what I want the listeners to understand. It doesn't matter. This knowledge is universal, and it permeates everything in form, so you can always go back to some point of knowledge. You know, it's like spirit directs us where to go.
You got it, Fred. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you again on the 14th when you do this thing with Debbie. But I've got one question to ask you.
Okay.
I certainly don't have your knowledge. I'm a seeker of truth, and I have a receptor.
Right.
I wear it every day.
Which one?
The one you gave me.
Yeah, but what stone is in it?
Sapphire.
Okay, right.
I you made me think. Anyways, in attempting to explain to people what I was wearing and why I was wearing it, I really started fumbling for words.
Right.
And I wanted to know if you could express a few moments of time to explain not only to me but some of the other people in the audience just exactly the value of that. I have been wearing it ever since the convention when I went down to your house and got it, and I can't explain exactly what is different with me. I feel more intuitive. I feel like I'm less materialistically oriented, more spiritualistically oriented, but I can't put my finger on any one conceptualness that makes any kind of relative sense.
That's because it's working not on the mental plane with you right now. It's working on your emotional body. Your emotional body is going through some kind of healing change, and it's not time for your mental body to rationalize or become logical what the changes are. So this is a problem with the Western mind, and it's a beauty with the Eastern mind, but the two have to mix. The Eastern are too non-attached, and the Westerners are too attached. The Easterners are too emotional, and the Westerners are, the Easterners are too mental, and the Westerners are too emotional. So what we have to do is we have to synthesize the two cultures together, the East and the West, the two philosophies. So eventually what will happen is once your emotional body is healed, you've obviously been at some point through some kind of a healing crisis in your life, and you're coming through that now, but in order to start to tune into the high self, the inner nature, the soul nature, or your spiritual purpose maybe in this lifetime, you have to balance out the emotional, the etheric, the physical, the mental, and the higher bodies. You have to get them all in line. This is called the raising of the kundalini, the alignment of the chakras. And so, to explain the receptor and how this works, see that each time you wear this more and more and more, you'll go through more and more changes, and one day you'll wake up and realize that why you've been wearing this thing and what it's done to you. But you don't know yet. You know the feeling, but you don't know mentally.
You're right.
Yeah. Now, what will happen? What happens is in the body, if you want to explain it to someone else, you have to explain to people. You know, most people today, you have to gear into the level that their people and society are used to, communicating on. In the case of most people in the United States, they're on a nutritional level, and they know that nutrition has something to do with biochemistry, and biochemistry has something to do with electricity. So in order to explain what a receptor does in a very short period of time, it allows the electricity to perform biochemical actions without any kind of interference. And, of course, interferences are all these things that we're talking about, all of these radio transmissions, these high-frequency transmissions, the ozone layer, the off-frequency light that causes the skin cancer to occur, the toxins that we drink, all of these things. Because when you get into toxins, for example, you're talking about a right spin characteristic of the element that's going in your body, which reacts to poison. The receptor, for example, has a tendency to make atoms spin to the left. That's why it makes you stronger. So you can call it an electrical precursing device that makes the body's natural electrical processes occur without the interference of outside influence. That's about the best way you can explain it. Other than that, you'd have to get the book out. I mean, there's lots of approaches. You could use one approach where we talk about the effects of DNA and how DNA heals itself, how DNA, reproduces itself using the 3.58 megahertz and the 300 to 400 megahertz signals that are involved and how the receptor works there. But that usually goes right over somebody's head. So you have to go into it on a very simple level. And then you explain to them about gemstones and how gemstones have been over the period of literally thousands of years been used by all civilizations as having healing power. And, of course, bringing inner powers out to the outward expression. Sometimes greed comes out, very rapidly in some people. For example, that's why they have these big gemstone robberies, that sort of thing. But show people exactly that human energy, human thought does follow and behave strangely and good and bad around different crystals and diamonds and things like that. So you have to explain that aspect of it. Then the final thing is the marrying up of the antenna concept. Explain to people they have these satellite antennas that receive signals from space. They're very small signals coming from space in micro milliwatts, but you can amplify that. Now, that's a non-harmful form of radiation coming in, and you can watch intelligence through that. So you explain to them how these antennas can amplify the different effects of what's presented to them. That's kind of what you have to talk about when you talk about something like a receptor. If you're in the pyramid, then you're going to have to deal with a whole other series of explanations. So there's a lot involved in the technology that we're bringing out now. And where do you see the second and third generation products that are going to follow? I mean, we've got some pretty awesome things that are up and coming,
Fred?
Yeah.
On the 14th, when the seminar that you're going to give with Debbie, are you going to be having literature and some of these other products available?
Well, I'll bring up some of the antenna systems, which to most KFOX listeners are a whole new realm of of intrigue, and I'll be concentrating more on systems now than I did last time, which I was talking about components. That's
okay.
Where we're at right now. As far as getting into my latest stuff, it would serve no purpose at this point in time.
Okay.
Because it's unresearched, and it's unaffordable, and it's still in the R&D state.
All right. Well, Fred, you're just the greatest, and I thoroughly enjoy your show, and I'll see you on the 14th.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Craig, thank you very much for calling. Craig was calling on 772-5718. This is the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show. Dr. Bell?
Oh, thank you, Tim. Anyway, we were just starting to talk about the Systems 3 a little bit, which you saw in the living room. And first of all, we were talking about networking and raising consciousness. Well, when you install a Systems 3, before I get into that, I want to finish up one thing I was saying about the pyramid. Remember I said we put the pyramid on the head and we did muscle testing and it made you very strong. Well, if you turn the pyramid upside down and put it on the person's head, okay, and do a muscle test, in most cases it will make them weak physically, because what's happening is the energy that's normally animating the physical body is moving back up the spine and going into the brain in the higher centers. So you're really not weak as far as life forces are concerned, but your energy is transmitting up into the higher centers of the body, where in most cases a person is not used to having that experience happen. So what we did is we developed a device that gave a positive and a negative experience, negative meaning the feminine aspect, positive being the physical aspect, the male aspect, simultaneously. And this device, to those of you that have never seen one, looks like seven large pyramids stacked in a semi-arc sideways. They're sideways so that the top one is slightly, it's almost like a crescent moon. Just imagine a crescent moon from the side and made up of seven different pyramids, each about 9 inches square at the base. And this, so at the very top of the structure, some of the pyramids are sort of facing, they're almost horizontal, and they're right side up, and at the bottom of them, they're horizontal, but they're upside down. And so what happens is you get a balanced flow of energy from the system in both aspects, negative and positive. And then in the center of that structure are two more pyramids going out in a horizontal rather than a vertical direction to balance the force field that this type of device produces. This then has a stainless steel wire on the back of it so that the tops of all of the pyramids are laced together, feeding down into the bottom of the unit where it sits on the stand. And the stand is quite interesting in the fact that it has eight pyramids in it, each one right side up, one upside down. So they form perfect octahedrons, and they're in a cluster like a square consisting of four sets of pyramids, which form eight. And in the center of that are three more pyramids shaped like a triangle. And so this is the bottom structure, and then the top structure called the irradiator sits on top of it. Now, in the bottom structure are lots of crystals. Crystals are installed in there, and the crystals then are going to generate the energy and send it up the stainless steel wire because there's an attachment, and send it out through the bottoms of the different pyramids. Some of the energy of the crystal will be felt in the body as a negative energy, not meaning harmful, but meaning feminine, and some of it will be felt as a positive energy, meaning masculine. And this structure can be activated by the Earth's magnetic fields. It can be turned on, it can be turned off, it can be turned in and it can be turned out. So there's four different directions this energy can flow, depending on how you, as the operator, you know, direct the energy to make its motion. Then what happens is, we have, instead of just one of these structures, we have seven of them in a particular configuration called the Systems 3. And to set something like this up, what you have to do is you have to have a 10 or 12 or 15 foot square room. And you have to go out and you have to draw a circle, you know, covering the entire room, as much area as you can get without any furniture or mirrors or lamps hanging in the way. You draw a large circle, say a 12-foot diameter circle. I usually have for people draw it, you know, sometimes it's on a carpet floor, sometimes it's on linoleum, sometimes it's on wood, depending on where the system goes, with chalk. That way it's not going to be a permanent thing in as far as a stain or something, but it's very necessary for setting up the system that it's a very noticeable circle. Once the circle is drawn, then what you do is you go to the center of the circle and put a compass down. The compass then points to the magnetic north, and what you do then is you draw a line from the center of the circle to the magnetic intersection where magnetic north line it hits the North Pole. So now you have the North Pole of that circle. And it's, just imagine a pie, and you put a compass in the middle of the pie, and you've made a slice along the diagonal of the, parallel to the needle. So the compass needle. So you end up, basically at this point, you've cut the pie in half. And the point where the north part of the pie, or the north part of the circle, you draw a big square about 2 feet in each way, 2 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet, and you put it down there as T1, time zone 1. And now we're entering into the effect of time and magnetism and the interpenetrating powers of time and magnetic energy, which is a whole interesting, fascinating field. You know, time and magnetism switch from plane to plane, but gravity is only unique on the physical plane. So there is a difference between gravity and the relationship between time, energy, and space, and magnetism. So then what you do is you go back to the center of the circle and get a protractor out. And once you use the compass only once, you put it away and you get a protractor out, and you put it on the line, and you draw a degree angle off the center of the line, which is pointing to the north, of 52 degrees exactly, which is the angle of the pyramid. It's actually 52 degrees and 51 degrees and something, but 52 degrees is enough. And then you draw a line from that, you draw a line off there marking 52 degrees from your main line. You draw another line out. And so what will happen is you keep doing that, repeating it in increments of 52 degrees. So you'll end up with a circle with 7 different intersecting points all the way around its periphery, labeled from T1, which is a north point, to T7, which is adjacent to it after you've gone a whole 360 degrees. And strangely enough, if you take the angle of the pyramid, which is 52 degrees, and divide it into 360, you end up with about 7. So what you've done there by dividing the circle into the pyramid degree angle, you've divided the circle into 7, which once again corresponds to the 7 major endocrine glands in the body and the numbers of 7 throughout space and throughout time.
Dr. Bell, we are out of time today. Would you like to tell people how they can get a hold of you?
Right. If they're interested in the systems catalog, which sells for $2 and describes what we're talking about now, they can call area code 714-499-2603 or write Dr. Bell, care of systems, 891 Santa Ana Street, Laguna Beach, California, 92651.
Okay, and we will talk to you again tomorrow, Dr. Bell.
Have a nice day.
Bye-bye. You have been listening to the Dr. Fred Bell Health Science and Energy Show, heard Monday through Friday between 11 o'clock and 11:30. Jade and Garden Equipment at 4460 West Imperial Highway in Hawthorne invites you to come in and see the world's most advanced rotary lawnmowers. Designed and built from the grass up by the people famous for engine innovation in cars, motorcycles, and power equipment. These are Honda lawnmowers. Durable, reliable, dependable, with all the styles and options necessary to match your mowing needs. For smaller yards, Honda makes a mower with a 19-inch cutting width that has all the convenience and maneuverability of a lightweight mower, yet has the power of a much larger machine. This is due to a unique overhead valve engine design that provides an unusually high horsepower for cutting with.
Yeah, that ended that tape there, and so we'll flip it over and get the other side here because we still got a little time left. That's 39 minutes. We'll run a little bit of the other show. That was all about the systems 3. It's a good one. There it is. Ooh, there we go. Get the thing started up there. It's a little bit out of queue.
Southern California, your top.
Yeah, there we got the Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show Health. Continuing on, you know.
Energy Show.
Here it is.
Pleasure to say.
Yes, sir. We're going to do the whole show now, though. We've got 20 minutes left.
How are you this morning?
I am fine. You probably don't know. You probably didn't feel it down there in Laguna, but we suffered an earthquake here in the South Bay.
Well, you know what happened when you guys were... when you were talking about that, you know how we sit in the studio, sometimes the waves shake it a little bit?
Yes.
Was it a lot harder than that?
It was much harder than that. And then we got calls throughout the last hour from people saying that they had felt the earthquake also through some areas of the Southland here.
Yeah, well, you know, when you guys were, I was listening to the show because you were talking about abortions and that this morning, you know, and ultrasound. And, so I was listening to the show, and exactly when you said that, there was a mirror hanging on the wall that started moving back and forth. I didn't actually feel the earthquake, but it actually caused the mirror to move back and forth here in Laguna.
Well, I called Caltech, and I'm trying to get in more information concerning it as far as the epicenter goes and the strength of the earthquake. So hopefully we will have that for everyone soon.
Yeah. So how do that? Today, by the way, we can take call-ins. I'm going out into space today.
Okay. If you have a question or a comment for Dr. Fred Bell regarding some of the subjects he discusses here, our number is 772-5718 or 316-KFOX. I'd like to hear some comments from people that did the meditation yesterday and see how they reacted to it.
Yeah, because it's fun to get feedback. You know, doing it on the telephone, through the station back out into the airwaves, there was a lot of power flowing through here yesterday. I'll tell you,
yes.
You feel it.
Yes.
That earthquake was just a little residual because they were getting ready for today's energy blast, you know?
I don't know. It is interesting. I want to find out where that epicenter was. Maybe it was located relatively near. I mean, it was a sharp little quake here that we felt, but again, I don't know how close we were to the epicenter.
We'll get into that later on. One of my next subjects up and coming is going to be the subject of volcanoes.
Oh, okay.
Studies on those now, but... that'll be a fun series, too. But anyway, what I want to do is I want to discuss a little bit more today what we've been doing for the last week. Basically, the energy systems in the body in the what I call the primary state, plus the effects of the receptor on those states and the pyramids and that. And yesterday, we in the meditation, I don't know if you remember the words, per se, that I was saying, but you remember basically what we were doing, right?
Yes, we were... moving energy from the lower chakras up to the higher.
Right. And what I wanted to do today was describe just a, kind of an intellectual description of that, of what was actually happening, which I think would be fun for everybody. And first of all, this exercise and what we did yesterday is in my book, Death of Ignorance. This comes out of the middle part of the book, pages 134, 135. Something I put back together back in the 70s, we used to use it in our classes. And you can really, there's a lot more you can do with it. Some people have actually, when you do it with a kundalini exercise that goes with it, it's a form of kundalini yoga, it's possible to blindfold someone and put like a, you could put a tin can on their head or a bucket or something so they couldn't see out. And then they go through the exercise, they do the visualizations accompanied with about 1,000 fire breaths. It's rapid breathing, and I don't recommend you try it until you train for it. But you can actually see without your eyes. You can see all around your body. It's a very incredible experience that you can actually develop because after you go through all these, like I would call hallucinatory effects and these showers of light from the different chakras, you can actually, all of a sudden, you illuminate the outside of your body. And what's happening is the etheric part of your body will transmit energy directly into the pineal pituitary gland. And because they do have optic-type cells around them, they will illuminate a portion of your brain. So the outer sensitivity of your etheric body, registering all the light and sound and colors, will present visual images. And if you center yourself on it, you'll center yourself right in the room that you're doing it, and you can see all the way around your body, 360 degrees. It's quite incredible. That's what we actually developed it to back in the early 70s when I was working with this stuff all the time. I spent about 3 years of my life just working with kundalini yoga. Previous to that, I got into martial arts, which was great, great exercise, but I just wasn't quite releasing my mind into my body like I wanted it to. So anyway, yesterday what we were doing is we were becoming aware of the energy coming into our bodies from the from the inner planes of consciousness, which transmits itself all over the universe. And basically the energy comes in at the base of the spine, and it comes in, imagine like a wheel with four spokes in it. And the energy comes in at the center of the spokes in one direction and forms like a basket weaving network around the spoke as it splits up and disperses itself. And this, if you're like putting a basket worker weaving a thread through the spokes of a bicycle, for example, that's how the energy is working on these chakras. And the further up the spine that you go, the more weaves that takes place, the more interlacing between the cosmic forces of the universe, the seven basic rays as we call them, and the physical body. So each one is a higher sensation in consciousness with more and more visual things to experience. And what I'd like to do is just read, now that we're not actually in the exercise, just read a couple of things real quick right out of the book so that it clearly puts things in place before I continue on. And I've written that every human on this planet is out of balance in one way or another. So as energy from a balanced universe such as ours strikes our bodies, entering through our bodies at the chakra point shown in the following drawings, which I've drawn here, which we described yesterday, the exact moment it encounters an imbalanced body is put into a state of temporary shock. Now what that means is that the universe, the relationship between the sun and the moon, the relationship between the heavens and the earth, and the relationship between the earth and the solar system and the Pleiades, the energies that flow back and forth are natural and pretty much in balance. As a matter of fact, they're dictating some pretty awesome things that happen. And our bodies are typically out of balance to a degree that we're existing in them, because no person that I've ever met has ever been even close to perfection. We're all in various stages of perfection. I feel that we're all equal, but some of us have been working a little longer than others, and some of us a little bit further down towards the path of perfection than others, but we're all ending up in the same place. The fact is, at this point in time, we're trying to maintain an awareness, and we have been given the freedom to express our egos any way we want and do whatever we want with the physical forms. We can take good care of it. We can abuse it. We can do a mixture of abuse and taking care of it like most of us do. So what happens is, in these chakra points in the body, when this is going on, it shocks the body. The body is actually getting a shock, a temporary shock, like an earthquake. And this shock, of course, is like the waking up of the baby taking its first breath. And it's a high form of energy, and each shock, it only lasts for like milliseconds, but it produces very, very, very effects on the body. First thing that happens is the primary energy comes in from the upper realm, and it strikes into these different parts on the chakras. The shock lasts a split second, but basically what happens is life is sustained in our bodies, and gravity is created. And then the sequence of that we went through, and I'll just read it off so you can kind of reiterate on it, is that some of the energy balances perfectly, sustaining life in the form, while some energy collides with the form. We're talking about the body now. So some of these energies that are striking us from the universe are in direct contradiction to our bodies because our bodies are not in a line. This area, these seven different points that we discussed yesterday, is called strike zone energy and causes fusion of three etheric zones. Now, remember we did Carillion photography that day, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Okay. That was photographing the three etheric zones. We have seven levels of consciousness, okay? The physical, the emotional or the astral, the mental, and it goes on up to seven levels. But just looking on the physical plane, we have solid, liquid, gas, and ionic, and three states of ether. These three etheric states are the realm of the nuclear particles that the physicists are all studying right now. Okay, so that's what we're talking about. So when this energy, the strike zone energy, causes a fusion of these three zones, and then what happens is, once these three higher zones of the physical is affected by this etheric energy, then what happens is four levels of solids are created in our body. And this is where all form is created this way. And so what happens is, when our bodies are breathing etherically, they're actually creating matter. And of course, this takes place in the first stage of creation of matter is the fusion of the carbon atom and the marriage of the hydrogen atom. The hydrogen atom and the carbon atom are the first two to combine. And then the moment that those two combine and the life starts to happen, oxygen is brought in. So then we have nitrogen, which then helps returns the cycle. So we have oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Now, we're working now with three gases. This fusion between the spiritual energy and the physical is working in the medium of three gases and one solid. The solid is the pyramid-shaped carbon atom within our body. And all of the carbon atoms in our body are, if they're in perfection, are pyramid-shaped. But what happens is a lot of times is that because, like we said earlier, that we are not in perfection, we ended up with a distorted shape. The atomic structure is not really coherent as it should be. So what happens is you have a distortion in the pyramid. And there's various forms of pyramidal distortion shown in 12 or 13 different pyramids over in Egypt. Each one is built differently. Each one is distorted. And each one of them is symbolic of the distortions from the master builders that built them, because different people built these things. When we bring pyramid energy into our lives, what we do is we compensate for some of these distortions, and it reestablishes the geometric shape of the carbon atom in the body. So the receptor and the pyramid will reestablish this geometrical shape.
Dr. Bell, I'd like to interrupt for just a second. We do have word of the earthquake now. It did happen officially at 10:20 a.m. The epicenter was 16 miles southeast of Oxnard, and the magnitude was 4.6. I just wanted to pass that along.
Well, that's great, Jim. I'm proud of you. You're creating earthquakes now. I'll bet you that we're the first person on all the radio and TV stations in Southern California to announce it this morning.
Well, I don't know, because I haven't listened to the others, but I do think it's important to keep on top of exactly where it was. Now, I don't know if there was any damage up in Oxnard, but 4.6 is a fairly strong jolt.
Well, you know, have you ever been explained what a magnitude means in an earthquake?
Well, I know that I don't know exactly what the definition is. I know that it is not linear. I know the scale is not linear. I know
it's
logarithmic. Right.
For example, if you had a 4.5 and you had a 5.5, a 5.5 would be about 10 times more powerful than a 4.5.
And a 6.5 would be 10 times more powerful.
No, it would be 100, roughly 100.
No, it would be 10 times more intense than a 5.5.
Yeah, but you get up into the 7s and 8s. I once had a professor explain to me what a magnitude of 10 would be like. On the scale, I said, what would a magnitude of 10? That's where the scale stops.
Mm-hmm.
And what he said is, it would be very simple. The way the ground would roll on a 10 is 1 minute you would be looking on in a valley, looking 1 mile straight up at another hill that had just formed. The next minute you would be 1 mile high on top of a hill looking into a 1 mile valley that had just formed.
Oh my goodness.
It's a 1 mile vacillation of the Earth's surface at a magnitude of 10. 1 mile. That's awesome. The G-forces alone, this would happen from second to second. The G-forces alone would crush a person.
You would be thrown right off the face of the earth.
I know. No, that's where the scale stops. If we ever have a 10, then you won't have to worry about it, because there won't be anything left. It's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is extremely fascinating.
But an earthquake is what takes place in the body on a many, many level when this energy, the spiritual energy, strikes our bodies. It shocks us into life. You ever find yourself falling? A lot of times, accidents wake people up. You get shocked into something. You fall asleep, you go into a dream, and then suddenly you woke up because you ran into something, you fell off a ladder or something.
Sure.
That's shock. That's the way our bodies respond. It's the ego getting out of the way of the spirit,
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we've just created these four levels of solids. Also, when this energy is coming in the body, realize that through the top of the head, the spiritual energy is coming in too simultaneously to help balance everything out. But the physical energy, which is the kundalini, the sexual reproductive energy, is coming in, entering in the lower parts of the body. So different parts of our body receive energies at different times. Like, for example, when we were studying the carbon atom, we did a model of it with the hemoglobin. And the hemoglobin, of course, is basically eight pyramids. Four pyramid structures, one right side up, one upside down, one right side up, one upside down, and repeated four times. In the iron atom, when these are made out of iron, and they're in the red blood cell, and around these, of course, are all the not polypeptides, but all of the different protein structures that make up the entire hemoglobin source. I think there's like 579 amino acids or something involved, and there are two chains, two alpha chains and two beta chains. Well, this is a very complex thing. It makes up just the red blood cell in the body, which is the life force being carried through, but everything is like that. If you look in nature, you look in the body, how things live, how form sustains life, it's always the same principle. There are just different expressions, but it's always the same thing. Anyway, energy constantly permeates all forms this way and forms these patterns. If used at the various intersections where these strikes actually hit the body, it shows up like these little octahedrons. We used to make a structure called an orb that amplifies that effect. And next thing is, now, when spirit gets trapped into the form, because the spiritual energy comes in from the head center, as it gets trapped in the form, it awakens to a spontaneous desire to return to go back to the source, once it experiences the form feeling itself. In other words, the spirit likes to feel the form in our bodies, and the form likes to receive the spirit. Now, what happens is if the body, as a form, meaning the body, is clear and moving with the spirit, it becomes lighter. But if the body is moving away from the spirit, it is caught in it, and it was called the desire of the lower nature, the energy will be trapped and the form becomes heavier. This is the spiritual thing that a lot of people have to realize when they get into dieting and weight control. Because if you don't balance your lives, a diet isn't going to be the solution to weight. It might take temporarily pounds off your body, but what happens is they'll just come right back on again unless you adapt your life to these changes. Now, the constant vacillation between the two natures constitutes gravity. Gravity is the interchange of energy from seven planes of consciousness. It is a mutual force causing a downward thrust to seven energies coming from the upward inward direction of spirit. And what that means is very simple. Take the Earth's gravity. The Earth is pulling in spiritual energy just like the human body is. As a matter of fact, this energy in the Earth causes the chakra to turn. The Earth itself is a chakra. It's turning. It's a chakra in a greater spiritual presence in the universe, so it begins to rotate. And if you look at the next planet over from Earth, which is Venus, it's rotating and working on the same principle. And if you look inside our bodies, the way these chakras rotate, one goes clockwise, one goes counterclockwise, one goes clockwise, one goes counterclockwise. It's like if you looked them together as gears, they would be a perfect gear train.
Now, what about non-rotating celestial bodies?
Those non-rotating celestial bodies are bodies that are working on a higher spiritual plane and do not have any kind of physical energy to them at all. They are basically arid planets as far as we know. Earth and Venus, for example, work like a figure eight, working against and for each other.
But those bodies would still have a gravitational effect.
Oh, yeah, they still have a gravitational effect, but they're not transmitting the energy to sustain life on the physical plane. They are releasing the spiritual energy back higher, and they're maintained. As a matter of fact, those bodies do have a gravity effect, but they're not dense. Like Jupiter and Saturn are not dense planets at all. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Hmm?
Yes, I did. They have quite a large volume, but their actual density, which is mass per unit area, is relatively small.
Right. Now, what's happening, for example, in Jupiter is that, first of all, there's an evolution that's taking place on the planetary level. At one time, Mars was believed to be a lot like Earth, and they studied the Martian history and how the rocks are and the amount of oxygen and iron in the surface and those kinds of things. And it appears that Mars lost its atmosphere because it appears that Mars had a high carbon dioxide level, which then released oxygen, which the Earth is in the process of doing. The Global 2000 report shows that. Then it also points out that the planet Jupiter is going towards where the Earth is. Eventually, Jupiter will solidify, its gravity will change, it will become a denser planet, and maybe billions of years from now, it will be very much like the Earth. During this time, the sun will even increase in size, too. And the Earth will become more like the planet Mercury out in front, and Mars will become more like Mercury, and so will the Earth, because the heating will increase. So this is a projected evolution of our particular universe. But it falls in line with the way the body works if you study the relationship between the two, because there obviously isn't any difference.
But Dr. Bell, now, as far as Jupiter goes, Jupiter may not even have a surface to it, as I understand. Of course, the gravitational fields when you get closer to what might be the surface would be tremendously strong. But as I understand it, is a very gaseous planet. Where would the heavier elements be coming from?
Okay, what would happen is as it collapsed, as it got smaller, it would begin to solidify. That was one projected theory that I had studied.
But it would not have the mass to... For example, all heavier elements come from the center of stars when stars turn hydrogen into helium, and then they go on and they will reconvert those into heavier elements. You don't have the kind of gravitational field in Jupiter to convert the hydrogen in there to the heavier elements.
No, not as we know it now. But as the sun increases its intensity and the heat, the surface of the Jupiter goes up, then these kinds of gases and reactions can be created. It has.
That's the end of that show for today. Hope you enjoyed it. And once again, we remind you that Jupiter was a planet that was called a dark star, like Nibiru. We'll be talking more about that on the radio show. And hope you have a good weekend. You'll be listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show.